This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. This year's Four Bridges Arts Festival, presented each year by the Association for Visual Arts, or AVA, here in Chattanooga, starts online on Thursday through a smartphone app. Sarah Moore is the festival's director, and Jennifer Lewis is executive director of AVA. Sarah, Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us how AVA is operating at this time.
AVA with COVID has been a very interesting. Luckily, we have been able to move to mostly virtual, so the staff have been home. We're now open a few days a week, but we have a ton of virtual exhibits on our website and on our social media that has been keeping the visual arts alive in Chattanooga.
And how has life with COVID-19 shaped what you are sharing online?
Well, unfortunately, because we can't hang anything, we're doing lots of interviews with our artists, getting to know our artists, getting to know our participants that way. It's been an interesting transition because, of course, it's hard to interview, as you know, it's hard to interview people online and really understand what they're doing and how they're doing it. But it's been an interesting, neat experience for us.
How much of this were you doing even before the pandemic hit?
Nothing. We were not doing any virtual exhibits. So the moment the pandemic hit, we had about a few days to kind of switch everything around. And Krenisha Whiteside, our curator, Sarah Moore, our director of Four Bridges, immediately started pivoting and turning things into virtual. So we turned our workshops into virtual workshops with Zoom. We've turned our classes into Zoom, and then of course all of our exhibits, which Krenisha just kind of created.
What response have you seen in the past few months?
It's been a great response. We've appreciated everybody responding so well. They've been attending our virtual classes as if they were coming into our workshops on site. We've had more people come through our virtual exhibits and look at our virtual exhibits than if we were open to the public on Fraser Avenue, which has been great. We've been able to reach more of the community.
We should pivot to Four Bridges, Sarah.
Yes, so Four Bridges should have happened in April. And of course, when everything shut down in March, we had to make a contingency plan very quickly. So we made a decision back then to postpone the festival. We postponed to September 3rd through 5th, thinking in our heads, September is super far off and that'll be fine and we'll be ready to go then. Worked with our artists to figure out who needed a refund and who could continue on and worked through all of that. Our sponsors have been great for us. Through the summer, as the case numbers began to rise here locally, we realized, along with our partners in the city, that doing a live event just really wasn't going to happen. So we started working with a smartphone app. It's a platform called Socio, and we've built an app for the festival through Socio, and we've pivoted the entire event to a virtual event via this app.
And so give us a preview of what people will see when they go on that app and participate.
The app is available now on Apple and Google Play app stores. You can download it. When you download it, you'll find several different features. All of our artists have a virtual booth on that app. We have over 100 artists participating. You can get in there, look at images of their work. We actually have images of what their booths would look like at a festival, so you can kind of get a feel for how things are set up for them. And then we have links to their personal websites for sales, so you can shop online with all of the artists. Also on the app, we have listings of all of our sponsors. We have a listing of our jury. We have an event game that you can play. You can get on. It's like a scavenger hunt game. There's clues in several of the artists' virtual booths to find passcodes for the game, and you can collect points. We'll be giving away some prizes for that. And then September 3rd through 5th, we'll be running live videos via Zoom with our artists that'll link directly into the app. We have about 13 artists participating in these live artist talks and demonstrations. And the demonstrations will be kind of exciting. We can't really do live demos very easily at the live festival because the artists are working in their booths selling. And so this is something that's really unique to this virtual festival, that we can do these live events. The artists can show off what their home studios look like, show what their work process looks like, and do a little demonstration of how they work. So it's going to be a really exciting thing for us to do. We're also going to be debuting a new video that we've been working on with our partners at Atomic Films here locally about the history of AVA and the Four Bridges Festival.
Are there any themes that run through all of the artists' works? Are there works that are reflecting what people are living with now under COVID-19?
The only artist that I know of offhand who has really reflected the COVID experience in her work, and it's mainly through the titles of her paintings, is a local artist named Jamie Barks, who paints a lot of forest and tree scenes, but she has begun titling a lot of her works with phrases like stuck at home or another day in the studio at home alone. So that's fun. The big theme of the festival this year was supposed to be our 20th anniversary. 2020 is the 20th year of the Four Bridges Arts Festival. And we were looking forward to a really big celebration of that milestone. And we're still happy to celebrate that milestone, but it's a little bit tamped down this year. I do want to point out that another local artist, Brent Sanders, is the only artist who's been in the festival all 20 years. And so that's a big deal for us. So we're excited to have him back virtually, and we'll see him again in 2021 when we go back live.
And where can people go online for more information? And again, where can they get that app?
More information about the festival in general is available at our website, which is avarts.org. And there's a whole Four Bridges page on the website. And then to download the app, you can go either to the Apple or Google Play app stores and search Four Bridges Arts Festival. That's the number 4 Bridges Arts Festival, and you'll find the app there, and it's free.
All right. Sarah, Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Ray.
Bill Lee and his wife Wanda opened Gate 11 Distillery last year in the Chattanooga Choo Choo. It's only the second distillery to open in the city since Prohibition more than a century ago, and Bill says the editors of USA Today recently nominated Gate 11 as one of the top new distilleries in the country. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Ray.
How did you get into this type of business?
I grew up in Bledsoe County. I actually am a descendant of 7 generations of Sequatchie Valley farmers. But Chattanooga was always sort of the city that when we came to town, we would come to Chattanooga. And ended up attending Baylor School as a dorm student. Graduated from there, went to UT in Knoxville, and met my wife, Wanda. And then ultimately had a career mostly in the U.S. Midwest as a chemical engineer. Food industry, got into biofuels and alcohol distillation, and then ultimately into beverage alcohol. Basically, after that career, we decided to come back to this area after spending 15 winters in Minnesota. And looking around at that time, this is about, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, at the evolution of the craft distilling industry in Tennessee and the fact that there were a number in Metro Nashville, a number of craft distilleries, and then the Knoxville Gatlinburg corridor, quite a few more, it seemed that Chattanooga was a great market with only one distillery, and that's, of course, our friends across the street here, Chattanooga Whiskey, did a great job opening this community up to distilling for the first time in 100 years. And that's what we decided to do.
And when you talk about Chattanooga Whiskey, they opened only a few years ago, and it was quite a protracted struggle to change the law, change the rules to make that so.
Yes, we actually were back in the area during all that time, and we had reached out. I had some connections with the founders there and sort of followed it, very interested in how it was going to happen. It was harder than it needed to be, let's put it that way. But the heavy lifting got done, and we really appreciate that work.
And then how would you describe your distillery and what it offers?
We had this same question when we started. What are we going to be? We looked at the 30 to 40 some odd distilleries in the state at the time, and a few were based on actual family brands like the Nelsons over in Nashville. We didn't have that particular heritage. There were a number that were sort of tourist and moonshine oriented, and we thought, well, that's an area that pretty well covered already. We decided to focus, I guess, on the total spirits experience. What that means is we're going to make more than one product, and we have made more than one product, and we continue to develop new spirits products right now. And we also wanted to offer different types of experiences than you might get normally at a distillery, including cocktail bar focus. When we started up, we were one of the first craft distilleries in the state that got to basically set its layout and organize its space after the state changed the rule that says you could serve cocktails with your spirits. So I think some of the previous distilleries, they all had tasting bars, but we went full cocktail bar. And we have an inside and outside cocktail bar, and that's a big focus. Although right now it's a bit constrained because of the need to responsibly manage COVID issues.
Tell us more about how you are managing your operations during this time.
Well, in late March, we basically suspended normal operations like almost everyone else did. We pivoted very hard at that time to hand sanitizer production. We got licensed with FDA as a over-the-counter drug manufacturer, and we started selling liquid hand sanitizer to a number of local businesses. We continue to do that, even though the supply of hand sanitizer now is much more abundant than it was back in April. But we've sold to TVA and to VW, EPB, City of Chattanooga, Hamilton County First Responders, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Just started selling some to Ruby Falls here recently. So that will continue, I think, to be a part of our business. But what we were able to do, though, in June and July is open our bar, our cocktail bar, back up, but it's outside only. If you come to our place, you'll see that we're on the back side of the Choo Choo Terminal building, and our outside bar actually opens up into a covered patio space and actually opens up into the entire Choo Choo Gardens, which is an open carry area for us. So it's possible to buy a cocktail at our outside bar and wander around a 5 or 6 acre garden. That's been very helpful. And we also started our live music program back in July. And right now on Friday and Saturday evening, we have outdoor music on our patio. And we're going to continue to do that as well because we have a big commitment to supporting live music here. And musicians who depend upon playing music have had a really tough time here in the last few months.
And you have received and you are competing for a few honors these days. How typical is that in the distillery business, especially a business that has launched so recently?
I don't know how typical it is. I think currently we have been nominated as one of the top 10 best new craft distilleries by USA Today. We're in a voting period right now, so we're kind of scrapping for votes. The way we look at this, I think the merit-based part of this is being nominated. And we're very appreciative of that. Whether we end up in the top 10 or not, we feel like we've already achieved some third-party validation. But we'd love to be in the top 10, so we're going to work hard to try to do that. Other awards we've received this year, we entered our vodka, our gin, and our rum in the American Craft Spirits Association Spirits Competition. And this is a annual event. I think there were about 5,000 different spirits that were entered last fall. And the awards were announced in the end of March this year. Not a great time to build a lot of fanfare around your awards, so we didn't do a lot with that, but we are talking about it now. And our vodka placed silver medal, and our gin and vodka received a bronze medal. These are criteria. They're sort of fixed criteria. The judging panel will have to look at that fixed criteria and decide how many of the spirits might achieve a gold, how many might achieve a silver, or a bronze. And so since we medaled in all three that we entered, we felt like that was a pretty good validation of our capabilities across the board.
And where do you see the distillery business going, given how uncertain things have been and how uncertain things are and are likely to be under COVID-19?
That is the $64,000 question right there. I think every distillery is asking itself these questions. It's going to be a while before we can go back to a business that we knew. We may never really go back exactly to that exact model. We're trying to get the word out about our products here locally and regionally. We are currently have been sold in 50 area bars and restaurants, but there are quite a few places that don't have us yet. And we're trying to expand knowledge of that we're here. I think these recent news articles are very helpful for people in the area to understand there's quality, a range of quality spirits being made in this one craft distillery here in Chattanooga. We're also looking to expand to Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis, and Atlanta and Birmingham. And so that's the next step for us, is to try to get out to a little more of a regional focus. When we started, that was really our intent, was to be at that regional level. We didn't really aspire to be some kind of a big national brand. But so far, we've been focusing most of our resources in Chattanooga and the immediate area. I think we're looking at more of a in-home bartender cocktail prep focus as well, trying to position ourselves as a sort of a one-stop shop for the in-home aspiring bartender.
And where can people go online for more information?
Gate11distillery.com is our website. I will add that we think hand sanitizer liquid and gels are going to be part of our mix as well going forward. Those products are going to be a need, and we're here locally to produce them.
All right. Bill, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
I'm Will Davis, and this is Tennessee Valley StoryCorps. Stories from people who went to the StoryCorps mobile recording booth when it came to Chattanooga last year. Today, Graham Truelove and his wife, Kat Truelove, talk about what divorce taught them about marriage.
So I know that when my parents split up the first time of many times, I was probably in the seventh grade, and I thought it was going to be a permanent split, but they were back and forth together for decades, actually.
That's something that I hadn't realized until today, that my parents were splitting up when I was in seventh grade, too.
Right.
I remember when I found out, I overheard it. My mom was talking on the telephone, probably to a girlfriend, and I overheard her talking about getting divorced from my dad. And that's how I found out that we wouldn't be a family anymore. And even at age 13, I was probably 5'2" at that point. Mom gathered me up because I was crying and rocked me in this big rocking chair that we had in the guest room to comfort me.
Mm-hmm. So looking back at sort of the journey you've had with your first marriage and the ultimate dissolution of that, what did you bring from that first marriage, you know, that's different in the way that you and I love each other?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. As I proceeded away from my first marriage, I also recalled my parents' marriage. And you and I started dating soon after that, and you talked about your parents' marriage dissolving as well as yours as we got to know each other. So that's four marriages that I started noticing things. And then some of my girlfriends were also getting divorced, so that's a few more. And I started noticing what made people happy and what made people less happy. And what I brought away from that was a way of being that was a little bit more simple. There's a scaled down nature, but there's a depth to that. And what I noticed in all those marriages that I was exposed to and recalled during my divorce time is that the simpler was the more divine, and the simpler had a sense of grace.
That's a good answer.
How about you?
I entered my adult life looking for another family, and I found one, I think, early with my first wife. We sort of tried to recreate a family that neither one of us had at the time, but it was really a kind of an early mistaken attempt at doing that. And I think with you, there was a greater intentionality about who I wanted to be with and what that would look like. And I found both those things with you. I mean, the fundamental part of us is that there's a deep abiding love between us, and there's respect and desire and all those great things. And I think we truly enjoy being together, but I think that we are different in a lot of ways that creates a spark of vitality every day I wake up with you.
That was Kath Truelove and her husband, Graham Truelove. This conversation and others like it are available online at wutc.org, and you can subscribe to the Tennessee Valley StoryCorps podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This series is produced and edited by me, Will Davis, and created at the Pod Lab at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
This is Scenic Roots. The music this afternoon, as always on a Tuesday, comes from kind of sort of Barking Legs. Not exactly. This was a concert staged under the auspices of Barking Legs as a tribute to the late Chef Neville, featuring Atlanta's Fourth Ward Afro-Klezmer Orchestra back in February. The Fourth Ward Afro-Klezmer Orchestra, if you've never heard them before, is an interesting and heady mix of klezmer with West African styles, mostly Fela Kuti. Klezmer, if you're not familiar with it, was brought to this country by Jewish and Eastern European immigrants in the late 19th century. A celebratory dance music form, it became more upbeat and jazzy in the early 20th century, not surprisingly, given that it had landed in New York, but also because of the popularity of Yiddish theater in New York City. It's an intoxicating blend. I think you'll enjoy it if you didn't catch it the first time we played some of this. This afternoon, again, we want to share it with you, the Fourth Ward Afro-Klezmer Orchestra on Scenic Roots.
It helps. So, this is called the Yemenite Tanz. Thank you. you very much.
Thank you.
that? That's called flying without a net, folks. Amen. All right, so keeping with the Hobdollar thing, where's Steve Dalgo?
Four different opinions.
So, as you might have heard, we're doing different arrangements of things, and so there is jazz in here. You know, you put two wrong notes together and call it jazz, someone once said. But these are all right. This is, you know, this was intentional. So this one is called, you know.
What?
We'll do Dalgo.
Yeah, Dalgo.
All right. So this is called Dalgo Horo. These are long dances. This is, you'll hear for what it is.
One. It's a piece of music.
It's a piece. Dalgo one, Horo. Two, three, four, five. Ready? You count it. Very much. That was called Dolgoharo. That's Long Dance. These are all dance tunes. Feel free to dance. Oh, Daddy, take me to Johannesburg. You got the melody. Okay, I'll play it. That means I got. That means now they told me something different. I got to look at the music. So anyway, ready?
Thank you.
very much. Thank you all. Thank you, Chef.
Thank you.
The Fourth Ward Afro Klezmer Orchestra, representative as much as almost any style of music you can imagine, is representative of what happens at Barking Legs in a given year. The good news is the live jazz is coming back to Barking Legs, albeit in virtual form, beginning tomorrow evening, Wednesday. Alan Chicot will be playing in the lounge online on the Barking Legs Facebook page starting at 7 o'clock. The following Wednesday will be Sean Perkinson playing guitar and Nathan Warner playing trumpet. Details, as always, are on the Barking Legs Facebook page. This is Scenic Roots.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.